Hi, this is Steve Ide from the Research Bureau. Should more Americans live in cities instead of suburbs? Is America anti-city? Over the past half century, America's population has grown by 130 million people, but almost all of the top 10 cities from 50 years ago have lost population. Only 10% of America's population lives in cities with 500,000 or more people, and only a quarter of the population lives in one with more than 100,000 people. In the words of one observer, America is, quote, a suburban nation with an urban fringe and rural fringe. Since 1990, over half the population has lived in the suburbs. In 1960, only a third did. Most Americans are either untroubled by this development or believe that, among the more pressing concerns of our times, suburbanization ranks far below issues like inequality, the economy, or terrorism. But there are some who believe that the rise of the suburbs has been catastrophic and that America's future depends on the future of its cities. These people are known as urbanists. Urbanists believe that suburbanization was no accident, but rather the result of the federal government's deliberately anti-city policies. They especially have in mind housing policies such as the home mortgage tax deduction and home mortgage insurance, and transportation policies such as the construction of the interstate highway system. Most of these policies were implemented right around World War II, exactly at the moment when American cities began their decline. There's no question that there has always been an anti-urban strain in American moral belief. Thomas Jefferson said that large cities were, quote, pestilential to the morals, the health, and the liberties of man. Reformers from the late 19th and early 20th centuries believed that American cities' many problems were rooted in overpopulation, and that if people could just spread out a little bit, this would bring everyone some relief. But the notion that the federal government has somehow been out to get cities is a bit conspiratorial. In fact, the federal government has tried to help cities in many ways. It just has not been very good at it. Take the Interstate Highway Program. People always forget that boosters of downtowns were some of the biggest advocates for highways, because they believed that greater access to downtowns would revitalize them. Needless to say, it didn't work like that, but that's because public policy sometimes has unintended consequences, not because of any bias against cities. The two most important causes of suburbanization had nothing to do with politics or policy. I have in mind America's practically limitless amount of real estate and the invention of the automobile. Suburbs in some form have existed throughout human history. The natural human desires for quiet, safety, and privacy have always been best fulfilled outside of cities. What's distinctive about America is that, thanks to cars and the fact that we have more land than we'll ever need, suburbia is not only for the wealthy. I see at least two reasons why America will continue to be a suburban nation well into the 21st century. First, cars will remain the most economical and convenient way to get around. High gas prices will serve to stimulate more innovations like hybrid and electric cars more than they will increase usage of public transportation. Second, public school systems will remain better in the suburbs than in the cities. It's not only that suburban schools outperform city schools in every category of academic achievement, it's also that urban school systems long ago stopped even trying to serve the middle class. Their efforts are primarily directed at bringing up the lowest performing students, not challenging the already proficient students to achieve more. And so suburban life remains the reasonable default choice for most Americans, despite the ardent desires of the urbanists. This has been Steve Ide for the Research Bureau Angle on AM830 WCRN.